Do you like the Star Wars? Well, we do too here at the Rancor Pit. And this week, Eddie Medina, who is here somewhere.
Boshuda Biatch.
Oh, wow. There you go. As you may have guessed, if you just skip the title of this episode and jump straight into the straight on into the episode, this week we're talking about not only Jabba the Hutt, because we haven't done a character profile in a while, and we really wanted to kind of talk up Jabba, Jabba or Jabba. You know, if you're talking with some of the people who worked on Jabba, it's Jabba. I went Jabba's tile, which made Mike Edmonds sound Australian instead of English, so I apologize.
If you're from Boston, you say Jabba.
Jabba.
Yeah, it's Jabba. Yeah. Yeah, it's Jabba the Hutt on that Star Wars there.
Jabba Jabba Doo.
That's right.
Wow, this just is going to really...
We probably should introduce our
oh,
guest.
Oh, yes. Yeah, if you hear someone in the background, it's not the Gamorrean guards or...
Oh!
Oh!
Wandering around trying to keep the peace. But it is, in fact, none other than the latest addition to the Jedi Cole Universe Podcasting Network, our newest member, none other than Vega Bomber of Do It Yourself.
What's up?
Yeah.
Dang, what's up? I'm glad to be here.
So, yes, hot on the heels of the premiere of your show on Wednesday of last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
I had a really cool discussion about Iron Man 3, so if you haven't checked that out yet, definitely check it out. It was a fun listen.
Yeah, and the main reason we wanted him on the show was that that you and your co-host Juice just went on for the longest about Iron Jabba, which I thought was really I'd never thought of that.
That part.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was part of the cut.
That must have been the director's cut that
you
didn't put.
Yeah, we didn't actually air that. I'm sorry. If you're wondering why, you know, you don't find anything in there about Jabba the Hutt making an Iron Man costume, because it didn't happen.
That's right.
Gardula the Hutt ended up in an iron lung, so that kind of.
Oh, okay, yeah, I remember that.
That's right. That did appear now, didn't it?
if it hasn't, it should.
It's going to be in the special edition of Episode 1,
or Episode 7.
Because she got a lot of sand in her hut.
Right.
Sand gets into everything.
Inner crevices.
Yeah, inner crevices.
And most people don't know this, but Jabba first was a shark. It was called Jabba Jaws.
Oh, Jabba Jaws.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Thank you for the great Hanna-Barbera reference there. I feel like it's the 70s Peter Benchley craze all over again. Back when Hanna-Barbera had Jabberjaw and the Patty Freeling had Mr. Jaws.
That's right. Oh, my God.
Jaws related. And because, well, no one was going to the beach, so they had their Saturday mornings free. So back to the topic at hand, we're here to talk about none other than Jabba the Hutt, as we all, I think, we're old enough to have known him simply as Jabba the Hutt. But somewhere along the lines, name inflation set in, and now he is known as Jabba the Siljic Tur. Is that right?
Something to that effect.
Siljic. Oh, here it is. Here's the complete name. Jabba the Siljic Tur Gamble Putty Devon Asverken Splitten Slitten Kressenbacken Slitten Digger Diggle Dangle Dongle Dungle Bernstein von Knacker Thrasher Applebanger Horowitz De Kami Grander Naughty Spicklehinken Greiten Heifen Grittenheimer Bitten Nudenberg Burt Washtel Gertzman Mitz Weschen Luber Hasfuten Gritten Stortenbacken Kassen Facken Mickelmacker Acker von Hoppe of So there you go. The entire name of Jabba
the Hutt. What the literal heck just happened?
All I can say is, was it supercalifragilisticexpialidocious? That's all I know.
That was Gardula the Hutt's full name. Gardula supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
Oh, my God.
Abkadeki Jekyllmanocker Stewartses. I challenge anyone to get what that final reference was. The first, of course, being we got invaded by Monty Python.
Now that's all easy for you to say.
Indeed it is. So there you have it. Jabba the Hutt, notorious gangsta, Mm-hmm. I think our own Eddie Medina on the last Rantcore Pit Live.
Yeah.
Was blatantly plugging himself away there with his original gangsta original art.
That was accidental. That was
oh, it was purely. He just happened to have a clipboard with that attached to the back of it.
Well, I knew since it's a visual show, I knew that that ugly clipboard was going to be facing the camera the whole time. So I thought, what better way to spruce it up and give myself a little bit of a plug
there
than
he,
to,
oh, there comes the
yeah. Then stick one of my prints on the back of it.
So if you'd like to contact Eddie Medina at EdMed Art, whatever the, we'll get to that at the plugs, but contact Eddie and get your own original gangsta print today.
That's right.
But Jabba the Hutt is one of those characters who has had an interesting history.
Mm-hmm.
He's been kind of. It was a bit of a mystery, as a matter of fact, because you knew about Jabba from Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or at least he was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
When Han Solo ceased to be a big green guy with gills and no nose.
And bug eyes.
And bug eyes, and became a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to hear about this Jabba the Hutt, and that led to speculation of who is Jabba, what's he all about. And, of course, we had to wait about 6 years to find out for certain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Meanwhile,
well,
as we've... Oh, go ahead.
Well, unless you caught the reference in the Star Wars Marvel comics.
That's where I was headed, because the...
He's had a bit of a history with... Whereas some might have a sex change, Jabba's had a race change, I suppose.
Yeah, Jabba went... he either really, really let himself go. Or... There was something else at work here, and you know, you can look at this all kinds of different ways. I prefer to justify it as being like the usual suspects.
The
one in Marvel was just the representative of Kaiser Sose.
Nice.
Yeah, because the biggest trick that Jabba pulled off was making people think he looked like a walrus.
Well, you know, most people don't know this, but, you know, Jabba was also in that movie by Spurlock called Super Size Me.
Oh, was he? That's right.
Wow.
He had the double frog special, didn't he?
That's it. That's what you look like after 30 days of eating nothing but the frog special.
And a blue milkshake.
Extra large. Yeah, in fact, I am right now. I have with me my big. I've got my bowl of froggies here. I've got my hookah pipe going. I'm a method podcaster.
That would explain why you're spouting off that long name. You're
right, yeah.
Obviously you're smoking something over there.
Indeed.
But yeah, Jabba went through a few different versions before they settled on the final product.
Yeah. It, you've got everything from, you know, your strange uncle in a fur coat to the ultimate, you know, you've got your... once they decided he needed to be a little more monstrous, a little bit more non-human,
mm-hmm.
and to be... puppet. Then, you know, if you see some of the pre-production stuff for Return of the Jedi, there were a lot of variations, and mm-hmm. I think once people got away from him just looking like, you know, a really bad movie Caesar, in, you know, some Roman epic,
mm-hmm.
to, I think once somebody hit upon the kind of a caterpillar-legged, worm creature, then everybody started, you know, everybody in the workshop was sort of like, oh, that's good, that's what I'm going to do. And pretty soon there were, you know, you just see this sort of evolution toward making him a big slug.
Yeah, yeah. A slug that found himself somehow able to chain a slave Leia next to him, you know?
Well, that's why you outsource things. And the Hutts pretty much outsource everything. I mean, you think Jabba goes to the fridge and gets his own frogs? I don't think so.
That's exactly right.
He's got a whole entourage to do that for him. That's what a Mana Man's for. He's there to go get the slugs and.
I knew a Mana Man was good for something.
Yeah, and Ryuki's is in charge of chaining up slave girls.
Oh, okay.
As far as we know. But yeah, John. Yeah. Where'd you get those peepers? So the thing is, the Hutt's, you know, once you establish Jabba the Hutt and you get the look of him in Return of the Jedi, then it gets to be kind of an open season on more Hutts. So by episodes 1 through 3, you establish that there are, in fact, other Hutts by name, like Gardulla the Hutt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we see Gardulla briefly in that cameo.
Yes,
you know,
she
the pod race.
Comes, she or it comes slithering out. And it was interesting years and years ago, if you listen to the shows I'm on, you know, I've had a long association with Alcon, the annual convention in Dallas area. And I believe it was the very first Alcon, the author Troy Denning was in attendance, and he was apparently tasked with coming up in a story he was writing with, how exactly do Hutts reproduce?
Oh.
And apparently what they settled on was that they're hermaphroditic.
Yeah.
So they carry both male and female sex organs, so they can just sort of reproduce at will during a lost weekend. And then comes the really difficult point in every Hutt's life where you have to admit to yourself that you're pregnant. That you've got yourself pregnant. And then you have to decide whether or not you're staying.
Gosh.
It could happen.
I'm not even going to touch that one. I can't. That is not going to end well if I even jump in on that.
Yeah, probably not. But the thing about that is apparently Troy Denning admitted that was his wife's idea. He was really kind of, I guess he was trying to figure out the physics of mating. And she saved his bacon there by suggesting that it's sort of like rather appropriate that we have a Vegabomber on here because it's sort of a do-it-yourself. Really.
It does work better than, you know, having to, you know, throw in the phrase, if this cell barges a rockin', don't come a knockin'.
Oh, wow, yes. Well, you might have to have that anyway.
It's good that they're more similar to worms, because if they were more like the tarantula spider, then he would have to kill himself after the minute.
That's true. Oh. That would be
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why there was a species like that, but they died out pretty pronto. So they were all just committing suicide after they got pregnant.
Like Wild Kingdom Star Wars edition.
That's right. And here we see Jim wrestling a hut. I'm safely back in the studio.
But yeah, if I could jump in real quick with...
please do. Someone stop me.
Since you're talking about Jabba, you know, getting himself pregnant, the result of that odd coupling was was my favorite Hutt of all time, the most adorable Hutt, the Hutt you can sympathize the most with, and that would be Rhoda the Hutt, Rhoda, however you say it, better known as Stinky the Hutt.
Stinky.
Stinky the Hutt, his son in the Clone Wars movie, which... I love Stinky. I'll admit. I mean, I won't go as far as to call him Punky Muffin the way Jabba does, but...
Punky Muffin.
Punky Muffin is Jabba's nickname for Stinky. But yeah...
It just gets worse. I have to point out, if you're not aware of this, I've never seen the Clone Wars movie.
Oh, it's actually...
Sky Guy just sort of... such a bad taste in my mouth.
I have a tattoo
but
that
now
says
it
Sky
actually...
Guy.
Did get worse because
no, and that was the storyline that ran through the Clone Wars movie was that Jabba the Hutt comes to the Jedi Council asking for help because his son was kidnapped, and of course the Jedi says we should help him because this will kind of smooth things over. We need that trade route. We need that route that goes through his area. So if we get on his good side,
he's got a route through his area.
Oh wow. So again, I'm not touching that. So what happened? What happens? They sent Snips and Sky Guy. I'm sorry, Cole. Anakin and Ahsoka.
My ears are hurting right now.
They send them to go rescue Stinky. And Stinky is adorable. I'm sorry. I love Stinky the Hutt. I love him. But what's so odd is I didn't realize this till later. Because, of course, Stinky is tiny. Ahsoka can carry him like a puppy in her hands, and she carries him in her backpack throughout the movie. But
seriously?
Yeah, he shoves him in the backpack like so many textbooks or something.
He's just like the size of like a basketball. But what's so funny is at that point in his life, he's about 10 years old. Because the way this works in the Hutt world, Huttese world.
We're going to find out how it works. Finally.
Yeah. This is Sex Ed 101, Jabba the Hutt edition. So what it is they actually carry their young to the age of 70. So once the Huttlet is 70, then they leave the Hutt's womb. But periodically they come back, not womb, but the pouch, because they give birth, and then the Huttling crawls back into the pouch and spends the next 50 to 70 years, whatever it is, in the pouch. But what Jabba did with Stinky was a little different. He actually had him, I guess, surgically removed or something. I'm not sure the exact story. So that way, because he wanted Stinky at the age,
you don't, by the way.
Yeah, at the age of 10, because he wanted Stinky to be able to experience the galaxy at a younger age. And so that's the reason why Stinky was out and about with an entourage, and that's when they were attacked. And
I was beginning to wonder there when you were telling the story about the, you know, the Hutt pouch or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, I was getting a little worried that someone like snuck in and crammed their hand down in there and, you know, yanked Stinky out.
But
it was already 9 kinds of wrong, and this was about to elevate it to 10.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's about all I'm going to say about Stinky. But Stinky is lovable, is cuddly, and I love Stinky. I'm going to admit it.
And apparently can be carried around in a backpack, like the way rich women carry their little dogs in a shopping purse.
Oh, very much. Ahsoka is sort of the Paris
Hilton.
Yeah, exactly. And also, Stinky was a preemie. So.
Well, if Stinky has to fart, what would you call that? I don't know. Stinky made a stinky? I don't know.
Wow.
It's stinky stinky, yeah.
Stinky made a stinky.
Hey, well, all I can say to that is he who smelt it dealt it, buddy.
Oh.
But, you know, also I was really, the other reason I never watched that movie is I was disturbed when I heard that because of his basketball-like size, Ahsoka was actually dribbling him.
Oh.
And then, wow. Yeah, she actually got a foul for traveling.
Oh.
and that is the extent of my sports knowledge, folks.
There you go.
Oh, wow. I just got an image of Ahsoka. WNBA.
Doing some, like, you know, Harlem Globetrotters, spinning a little stinky on her finger. Okay, well, let's stop there.
Yeah, let's stop. I could go wrong again.
Oh, it went wrong when Stinky was pulled out of the Hutt pouch.
poor Punky Muffin.
Punky Muffin.
Yeah, you didn't know Jabba had a sensitive side, did you?
I didn't. No, I did not realize.
He's all sensitive since he could, you know, have sex with himself.
He liked to cuddle afterwards.
There you go.
Okay, if that's the case, what's the deal with his dancers, with Leia and Ula and all these others?
Right.
I mean,
let me say there's some things you won't do for yourself.
And there you have it.
I don't think we need to know anything more about him. And again, it comes down to the outsourcing. Jabba was, I guess the Hutt kind of an unusual thing, but at the bottom of that, to take a serious approach to this.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm capable of that from time to time. let's look at it from the standpoint of, you know, Ula and Leia and his throne candy is basically there to show off to other crime lords, to supplicants, to his vastly array of minions.
Yeah.
You know, the nature of his power.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, for one thing, Tatooine is still one of the few places where you can pretty much even post-Empire get away with having slaves if you're a Hutt.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Republic's anti-slavery laws don't exist here. And and even after the Republic, they apparently didn't. But it's a power play, you know, and the whole part about, you know, slobbering all over them with his giant Hutt tongue there is again, more about power and stuff. Because is a Hutt sexually attracted to Twi'leks or people? Probably not. But it's just kind of, you know, it's Dabba Djeri if you're nasty. So, Vega Bomber has now been left breathless. But
I was wondering, Vega Bomber, do you have anything to comment on about that
you, other than you regret having agreed to be on the show?
At this point, he's going to conveniently lose his Skype connection.
That's right. Oh, wait, we've lost Vega Bomber.
Jabba's pretty cool. I mean, to be able to have sex with yourself, now that's really being an OG, an original gangsta.
Oh, is it now?
Oh, wow.
And now against Jackson Webster.
That's a whole new dimension of gangsta-ness.
That's right.
I want to hear some gangster rap about having sex with yourself now.
Can you imagine? And Jabba's done it several times. My question is, how would you know when you're done? Well, I guess there is. No, we're not going to go there.
Okay, I'm going to stop there. If we have to ask that question, see you.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, so let's see. You were saying that he has his throne dancers, and he's gangster, and they're reporting to him. And I don't know. It sounds like he's got a charmed life, actually.
He does. Of both worlds. He's a single dad.
single dad.
And he's bringing his kid up right. You know, he wants to show him the galaxy.
He's got his own pet rancor. I almost said rantcor.
Mm-hmm.
Pet rancor. I was looking around at some various Hutts for the show on Wikipedia. I remember there being a book or something about a Zorba the Hutt.
Oh, yeah.
I thought, wow, how decidedly derivative.
Yeah, that was like one of those children's young readers novels, I think.
Yeah, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was...
Because I think I actually have that somewhere.
Was there a novel about Zorba the Hutt?
Yeah,
because it wasn't the one, there was one of the young readers novels about Mount Yoda, and I'm like...
Yeah, it's the same series. It was the Jedi Academy or something like that. I can't remember. One of those young readers.
Yes, I remember seeing it. Zorba the Hutt. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Zorba the Hutt had one of those Peter Jackson dwarf beards going on. It was all like long braided in several places.
That's right.
Yeah, that's where they got the idea for Blowing and Going, or whatever their names were.
What? Blowing?
Blowing and Going.
Blowing and Going. There were a couple of the dwarves in the Hobbit.
Oh, I haven't seen the Hobbit on. Sorry.
They're not,
if it wasn't in the original,
they're
cartoon,
not actually.
I don't know what you're talking about.
By the way, so.
that doesn't make sense that he would have hair. But the only thing I can justify that as is that he's got so much money he had the hair implanted.
I was about to say, it's sort of like the Batman villain King Tut.
Oh, is that it now?
It's like one of those stick-on beards, like the Egyptians had.
Stick-on beard. That would explain why he's very popular during Life Day, because they always have him dressed as Santa.
Oh, that's right.
Because he's the only Hutt on
apparently the Kashyyyk Hutt.
Oh, no, back on...
That is a Hutt on... It's like
gosh.
Right next to what's his name? The Art Carney shop.
Oh gosh.
Yeah, yeah. And
it was handmade.
Isn't one of the other huts named Pizza? Isn't there a Pizza Hut?
There is a Pizza
Hut. Yes. What? Yes.
There's actually a Pizza the Hut in Spaceballs.
See?
But yes, that works for me. I will claim him as part of the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, we can. Well, he's definitely a Hut.
Yeah. Sadly, he ate himself to death, but, you know, we can have a moment of silence for Pizza.
Well, didn't his, like, his henchman was, like, eating his face?
I don't really remember. I know they reported at the end of the movie that he ate himself to death.
That's true.
Which
yeah,
is awesome.
His henchman was actually eating his face, which is rather disturbing. and
all that stuff.
Furthermore, went on to say that his boss pointed out to his boss that he tasted good.
Oh.
Did you say? Were you saying something, Vega Bomber?
No, I laughed because I thought. And all this stuff that he's doing to himself, he can have sex with himself, you know, he can do all these things to himself. I guess he can take selfies. I mean, it's
wow. No, actually, he outsources selfies as well. I think that's what Squidhead was there for.
I mean, these huts can be pretty myopic, it sounds like.
We now have our hut psychiatry going on.
I know, obviously.
That's right. We can get his big butt on the couch over there. We'll do his whole thing. We'll break it down.
Well, that's exactly. That wasn't actually a throne.
Throne. That's right.
It wasn't even actually Jabba's palace. It was his psychiatrist's office.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, he got upset with the doctor's appraisal and hit the big button there, and off he went.
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. That's right. Well, when you or failure to make payments, that's what would happen.
Yes.
We no longer want to listen to the rest of your while your family is messed up. If you can't make payment, boom, we hit the button. You're gone.
Well, you know, in that way, Jabba the Hutt's very much like a Bond villain, because they favor push button trap doors as well.
That's true.
I've always kind of thought of him in that respect. He had like that old school James Bond villain type air about him.
Yeah, he really did.
So, but at the same time, in the opposite direction, he was kind of like also the Marlon Brando of the Star Wars universe.
Oh, that's true. Gangsta. I like the tieback. Way to go.
Yeah, because at the end of Return of the Jedi, he was out spraying the pesticides on the tomatoes and died of a heart attack.
Oh, no. You're misunderstanding me. I don't mean the Marlon Brando from Godfather. That would be
too obvious. Okay.
I'm talking about the Marlon Brando from Last
Gangsta.
Last Tango in Paris, because he could have sex with himself.
That's so it's sort of like having it's like Last Tango in Paris, the one man show.
It's a traveling show.
It has to be. It's just one step ahead of the law at every turn.
In fact, Jabba was actually up for the role of what's his name? In Superman.
Oh, Jor-El,
Jor-El, I was about to say Kal-El.
He actually did play, they basically just, he said it was Marlon Brando, but it was actually Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, is that it?
In the Island of Dr. Moreau. So, you know, for the five of us who went to see that, you might have recognized. You can tell because that little mole there on his chin.
Oh.
One of the most disturbing I found on this list was Mama the Hutt.
Yes, Mama the Hutt.
The Hutt. All I can think of is this like Hutt version of Vicki Lawrence in a with rollers in her hair.
Hardly.
Vicki Lawrence.
It's Mama the Hutt's family.
Yeah, Mama is she's another product of the Clone Wars series, and she's actually the mother of Zero, which Zero is actually another Hutt we could talk about. I don't know much about Mama myself, just other than she's the mother of Zero. But Zero is actually kind of a interesting character in that he's almost like the Liberace of the Hutts.
Really?
Wow.
Yes. He's very flamboyant. He wears makeup. He talks.
You know, I'm suddenly regretting this episode. Good night, everybody. Wow, I did not know this about.
Yeah, Zero, it's weird. I think I mentioned it in a past episode.
Does he have, like, big Elton John glasses going on or anything?
No, it's just, forget it. I'm not going to go down that road. But it's unusual because in the Clone Wars, he actually speaks, was it Basic? Is that what they call it in Star Wars? No, I'm sorry, I'm tired.
Yeah.
He actually talks Basic. He doesn't talk in the Hutt language.
Yeah.
And
it's just to be more flamboyant.
Yeah.
It's hard to speak Huttese with a lisp.
He does, but you're not joking. He does has he speaks with the lisp.
Of course he does.
He speaks with the lisp. He has like
this hashtag stereotyping.
I know exactly. He's got this weird like purple tattoo on one side of his face. It's very unusual. It's a very unusual take for a Hutt.
And nobody's like thrown a chain around his neck and strangled him.
No, apparently I know he would be into that. What?
Oh
no.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, Zero's kind of I would point out that actually Zero is Java's uncle, so there's like a little bit of lineage here.
Oh, she's like the weird uncle.
He is the weird uncle, not the one that wears the fur coat.
Yeah. So yeah, I guess he would be into that, like him and David Carradine. And yeah, surprisingly, there's little written about Rada the Huttlet.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah, you know, I bought a box of Huttlets at the dollar store the other day. let me tell you right now, go ahead and spend the money to get better quality Huttlets.
That's good.
I'm waiting for Easter time to come around, because I'm betting they're going to come out with like a stinky version of the Peeps.
I would like that. Yeah, like little
diabetic. They've come out with everything else. They might as well make some Stinky the Hutts. You know,
I'm surprised no one's done that. Or those weird things they look like a lollipop. They're made of some sort of strange gelatinous goo.
Right.
It's sprinkled with sugar and looks like SpongeBob or King Arthur or something. I don't know why King Arthur, but here's one I like is the apparently Arok the Hutt was a masculine Hutt. I guess it's the opposite of Zero the Hutt.
Wow.
Mega Bomber, are you still with us? Sorry, have you like
you
totally
know, I
disassociated
left.
Yourself?
I see a future do it yourself. It's do it yourself, the Rantcore Pit. It's Mega Bomber talking about how he would do this show better.
Wait, this is crazy because right, we go from a straight gangsta.
Yeah.
Jabba the Hutt, and now we've got a gangsta who's purple and got paint on the side of his face. The only time you can put paint on the side of your face is if you are, an extra in Braveheart. But I guess that's okay. It worked here. he's going for it.
What's Huttese for freedom?
You know, so I'm amazed. And then the color purple.
You're actually not far off, because Zero, being the weird uncle of Jabba's family, he would go around lifting up his kilt, showing himself off to people.
Oh,
how
nice.
There.
But no one could tell what was dirty and what was not.
Showing off his...
It's like a map of Manhattan down there. You just really don't know what's...
Watching his pouch at people.
That's right.
You see, you just won't get this on regular TV. This is the real deal here.
That's right. These are things George Lucas...
You don't get this on TV. They won't allow this type of thing on TV.
That's right.
It's like what they said in Mallrats. It's like the reason why those people are at the dirt mall because they're not allowed in the mall.
Right.
We're not allowed on TV nor regular radio.
Oh, man. I'm wondering if Jabba was ever, like, disabled, if he'd ever be in one of those riding carts where it would beep when you back up, if you could ever see one of the Hutts in one of those.
Isn't there something where, like, one of the Hutts had some kind of big floaty dish or
yeah.
something?
Yeah.
Wasn't it in Dark Empire? No. It was in Heir to the Empire, I think.
I think it was Heir.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry, that's Expanded Universe. Which
may or may not still exist, depending on who you're
talking
to. Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, one of the things that really bothered me when thinking about this episode was, you know, Han is on the lam from Jabba the Hutt.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it advances the story considerably that Han is able to be part of, you know, getting Luke and Ben to where Alderaan used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you know, grow as a character and grow as a person and become, you know, have a kind of hero's journey of his own and all of that. But, okay, let's say, you know, Big Tony's going to blow out your kneecaps if you don't pay up. If Big Tony is headquartered on Manhattan Island,
mm-hmm.
don't go and park your truck on Manhattan Island. You know, there's space is pretty damn big, Han. You could have gone anywhere.
That's because Han Solo has the biggest pair of brass balls in the universe. He doesn't care if he's in Jabba the Hutt's backyard. He's going to do whatever Han Solo wants to do.
That's right. Including shooting first, too.
That's right. Thank you.
Okay. So really what it was all about was he's sort of hiding in plain sight. Because you look at it this way, Greedo probably was not the best bounty hunter out there.
True.
He had probably just picked up the little flyer where it, you know, has a picture of Han Solo. It says wanted, you know, 10,000 credits. And then it has where they've cut mm-hmm. off the little pieces where you can tear one piece of paper off to call job. You know, like on your bulletin board at school. Uh-huh. And or, you know, at those old Walmart message boards. And so he's just got the word of it, and he's going to go in and think, you know, this could be the thing. I'm going to go get a drink, steal my nerves, and I'm going to head off looking for this Han Solo character. He could be anywhere in the galaxy, but I've got some ideas. And he looks over, what the hell is Han Solo right there? Right here on Tatooine. Who'd have thought about that?
Yeah. The last place you'll look.
Yeah, it's like all the rest of the bounty hunters. That's why the six of them who are in Empire are so pissed off. Because mm-hmm. they were, like, all over the galaxy looking for him anyway back during the original Star Wars.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they're hell-bent to get their hands on him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So much so that, you know, our Boba Fett asked him to throw his ship in the garbage for him.
Right.
Which really begs the question about Imperial garbage. I mean, how much gigantic pieces of things are they walking around?
I know. Where does that come from?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Dang.
I can understand, like, little, you know, pouches of,
well,
like, of
Captain, we need a new screwdriver, and it comes in this giant container that's, like, 18 feet long and 20 feet tall, and you open it up. You're like, well, don't be needing this container anymore, so just kind of semi-crunch it up, and then kick it out the back door. But yeah, I guess he was literally kind of hiding in plain sight because Jabba's not half expecting him to be there.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, about that time, Greedo had called him up on the cell phone and said, hey, look, you know, I got your guy.
Mm-hmm.
We're on it. Mm-hmm. Drop on by Mos Eisley and I'll take the cash.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he comes in, he's like, so I'm looking for Greedo. Well, it's like this. We're just scraping him off table 27 right now.
You can have what's left of him.
Yeah. And so then, you know, Jabba somehow gets over. The negotiations on the land sweeter must have taken a long-ass time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because Jabba had time to slither all the way over to Dockway 94.
Yeah, he's right. Not very fast.
Yeah,
you know.
And I want to know how he negotiated those stairs getting back up. I mean, you saw R2 is having a little bit of trouble.
Right.
Well, see, according to Hutt lore, they don't have a skeletal structure. They're literally like just a mass of whatever. So I would imagine he's almost like a shapeshifter. He just kind of works his way up the stairs. But
exactly, yeah. Well, interestingly enough, I was looking at some Jabba fun facts here.
Oh, is there such a thing?
Yeah, apparently the novelization of Jabba, described Jabba the Hutt as a great mobile tub of muscle and suet covered by a shaggy, scarred skull.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then in the comic, he had that look like one of the walrus-looking guys in the cantina who looked more like a walrus than the character called Walrus Man by the toy.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Wow. I guess they couldn't get away with calling Ponda Baba Spider-Man because, to me, he always looked more like a spider than a... But that, that is...
Well, there are a lot of... there should be a lot of fun facts there because if you can have sex with yourself...
Well, that's the most... I would say that's the most fun of the fun facts.
Well, you know, one fact about the Hutts that a lot of people may not realize is they can actually open their mouths pretty wide, wide enough to where they can swallow a human being, you know, whole. Which I always thought would be cool if they were to demonstrate that in one of the movies or something, you know, where they actually, I mean, you want to make a Hutt more villainous and more, you know, something to be feared. Show him swallowing a person whole in his mouth. You know what it reminds me of? And I can't think of the name of the show, but y'all might remember it since y'all are older than me. What was that variety show that was like a recurring bit where some sort of like costumed creature character would come out and swallow the person whole?
You know, that I can't place it either, but something about that sounds vaguely familiar.
Yeah, and it was like some sort of variety show. I remember it being like almost like a big Muppet, almost like that thing on the Muppet Show, the big furry thing.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking of the big furry thing on the Muppets. I don't know.
Might have been the Muppet Show. I don't know.
Anyway, that's what I thought of when I...
Because ironically, that was a variety show as well.
Yeah. Right?
It could be. Or I'm smoking whatever Jabba has in his
juice.
I don't know.
Something like that. Or maybe just like eating too many froggies.
And Hutts live to be 1,000, if not more. Did you know that?
1,000.
Yeah, I can't remember the name of the Hutt or what book it was mentioned in, but one of the oldest Hutts in recorded Star Wars history is 1,700 years old.
Wow.
Wow.
That's a geezer.
And here's one that is even harder to believe. The Hutts, for being the vile gangsters that they are, actually have a religion.
Really?
They worship the twin sons of their original homeworld. Like, now Hutta isn't the original homeworld. Apparently they occupied that planet later on in their history.
Uh-huh.
But whatever the first world that they started out on was a twin sun planet like Tatooine, which always made me think that maybe that's why Jabba chose Tatooine, because it
reminded him of a home he never knew.
Yeah, exactly. So
plus, it made the worship a lot easier because the... Yeah, they had sort of like surrogate sons there.
Yes,
apparently
right.
There's a planet called Varl.
That's it, Varl. That's right. That was the original planet where the Hutts came from, which oddly enough was a forest planet, the complete opposite of where Jabba ended up at. But I'm not sure the history why they left that planet and inhabited, you know, now Hutta, but I'm sure somebody out there knows. But So, yeah, the Hutts actually have a religion.
Stick-on beards.
Huh.
They didn't have stick-on beards on their...
Do they anywhere in your trivia or fact sheet one place where you won't see Hutts?
I don't know that I saw anything about places where you won't see Hutts.
Yeah, so you won't ever see the Hutts in a gym, you see, because you've always got your own sled. You don't need to be in a gym. And plus, they don't have to worry about losing weight, and they still live to be 1,000 years. So
it's true. It's probably healthier for them not to.
I thought you were going to drop real knowledge on us for a second.
There you go. That's right. One place you'll never see the Hutts, they'll never be in a gym. And they don't have to. They'll still live 1,000 years. Live on.
Plus, they take up the worst part. They're pretty much banned because they get on the treadmill, and they're there all damn day. On that low setting, you know, the one for little kids.
And they leave slime behind them. Like, it's bad enough people won't wipe the sweat down off the machines when they're done, but the Hutts won't wipe their slime off of them either.
And then they want one of those power bars with live frogs in it. It's just a mess.
Can you imagine Zero, that one Hutt, wearing a purple singlet to go in there and work out?
Oh. I think that was Zero the Hutt you were talking about there.
Yes.
Yeah.
He would do that, wouldn't he?
And he works out to YMCA playing in the background. What? No. It is getting worse.
Than pizza.
You also will not see a Hutt at? You won't see them in those little Japanese hotels. The ones that are like a little tube, you know, you just kind of climb into.
Right.
Maybe Stinky might be able to pull it off. I'm not sure about anybody else.
You know, at his age, you know, because he's scarcely more than a fetus at that point. Got taken out early because mom/dad couldn't wait.
Mom/dad.
I wonder if the Hutts would ever eat escargot. I wonder. No, maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah, that would probably be.
I would admit to them it would be like eating gingerbread men are for us.
That's true.
It's the kind of cannibalism you can get away with because it's
gingerbread men.
And of course, you know, in addition to being spoofed on Spaceballs to the Hut, there was also who was it from All in the Family who got on South Park was portrayed as
Sally Struthers.
Yes.
Sally Struthers, that's right.
Yeah, it's cruelly portrayed as a Jabba the Hutt creature.
Did she really? I have to look that up. I'll have to look that up.
I had forgotten that. That's right.
That's not far off, actually.
Oh, yeah. I think it was like Cartman went to confront her.
Okay. Yeah, I'm curious. I'm trying to remember who were the biggest rivals of these gangsters, the Hutts. Because as you know, the Hutts would be wearing blue, and then there had to be another gang that was wearing red. So.
Wow.
Who were the rivals for these Hutts, you know?
And Robert Duvall comes in Jedi robes to kind of break things up, you know? Is that how it works?
Right.
I'm not sure if there's any specific rivals. I don't know if there's like the West Side Hutts and the East Side Hutts or anything like that. Wow.
Well, there was a what was it? Dark Horse did a comic.
Oh, the Art of the Deal.
There was this one. It was the Hunger of Princess Namphi or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was like this some kind of exaggerated Hutt-like creature. It was like 10 times as big as Jabba.
Mm-hmm.
With four stumpy arms and.
I remember that.
Wearing a Homer Simpson muumuu. And it's just like, oh, come on, guys. Give me something I can work with here. It was just bad news.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not sure of any specific like rivals to the Hutts.
They've got it pretty well sewn up, you know.
I know Jabba's biggest rival was Gardula the Hutt, but I don't know much about the story there.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, I think it really the rivalry more often I think seems to be between different Hutt families.
It is, even
so
within
sort of
family.
Like it's sort of like Game of Thrones, only more slug-like.
Okay.
So little Nummy Muffin Cuckoo Butter there was more like was like the Tyrion Lannister of Hutts. Whatever the Hutt litter, whatever. Stinky Pants. There, I don't remember this character.
Punky Muffin.
I almost said Punky Rooster for some reason.
I can't imagine why.
Yeah, it usually comes from other Hutts, like Gardula the Hutt apparently is his biggest rival. But again, going back to Zero, you know, that whole thing with the Clone Wars movie was Zero ended up was one of the ones behind the kidnapping of Stinky because something to the effect like he figured if he was out of the way, then he could move in and take over Jabba's empire, I suppose. I think what it was is, you know, he had Asajj Ventress kidnap him because they figured they were going to kidnap Stinky and murder him, and they were going to blame that on the Jedi, you know, because they knew the Jedi were coming to rescue him.
Obvious that the Jedi would kidnap and kill a Huttling.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe he figured, you know, at that point the Jabba and his guys and the Jedi would go at it, and he would lie low, let them kill each other, and then he would move in, take over, I suppose.
So apparently, he watched too much CSI or something like that, and thought that this was a good idea.
Again, I think he was watching too much of Liberace's
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, Entertainment Hour or whatever it is, TV special. The lisp kills me. Oh my gosh.
Now, what was the official language? What was their official language of the Hutts?
Huttese.
Yeah. That was it. And wasn't there a variant of that?
And oddly enough, Huttese is also what you do before you have sex with yourself.
Oh, you're such a Huttese.
That's right. That's when you want to be really coy. Oh. I mean, how do you go about telling yourself you have a headache? I'm not really sure how that works.
That's right, because you'd always know you were faking. I mean, you'd always know you were, right?
Oh.
Can you imagine?
I guess, you know, when it comes to hot sexuality, you just have to be a little bit of, like, multiple personality.
Oh, my gosh. You had to role play with yourself.
That's right. Wow, I'd be careful how you say that.
Wow, I would never have thought today that Jabba was such a sexual being. You know, you always think of like James Brown, you know, the dancing machine. You know, he says, get up like a sex machine. But here we are talking about Jabba. Like
Jabba the Hutt would, you know, part of his Huttese there would be the kind of.
He was the Barry White of the Huttese world, I suppose.
Yeah.
You're listening to the smooth, cool jams of Jabba the Hutt.
He could do it because he has the voice. And if you don't like it, he'll hit the switch.
Yep.
And your butt will get dropped.
Bow shooter, baby.
Bow shooter.
Oh, my gosh.
Chef and got together and recorded an album. Chef from South Park.
Oh,
and
yes.
Bob. Imagine that album.
Because he does have that resonant voice that just drives the chicks crazy. That's really, they're not really his slaves there on the, they're just, you know, they're his groupies.
Yeah.
He just has to keep them on a chain. You know?
Keep them on a chain. Speaking of groupies and the like, you know, you would admire Jabba for the company he keeps because he has like all the coolest bounty hunters in the galaxy just come and hang out with him. But in reality, I think he's just surrounded by a bunch of yes men.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, a bunch of moochers.
Much like George Lucas by episodes 1 and 3.
And I think that's the point. I think Lucas and Jabba do share the same goiter, so I guess there is more of a, you know, similarity there. But, yeah, I'm
actually,
sure everyone in his...
Lucas actually calls his goiter stinky.
Stinky?
Yeah.
You know, he could, I was thinking about this, the music side of Jabba. He could cut an album. You know, there's that artist here that does reggae name Jabba Ranks. This is Jabba Ranks here.
Oh, there you go.
Reggae spot. Break out, you know?
Wow.
You know, here's Jabba with a, you know, a red, yellow, and green poncho because it's reggae space Jabba music. You know?
I'll give him those big old Rasta Man caps, you know?
I'm going to totally
big old knit
that.
Caps, you know? And and you could have the album could be This Hut's a Rockin', Don't Come a Knockin'.
He's already got the hookah. He might as well finish out the whole bit. You
That's
know?
Right.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah, give him a big old Marley joint.
Jabba.
I'm Jabba. Jabba in the name of the Lord. Jabba. Yes, it's Ziggy Marley's Jabba song.
And yes, folks, Alcon 2015, Cole will be performing that live.
That's right. I'm Jabba,
for
Jabba. So,
that's actually the song that the girls opened to in Return of the Jedi. They were doing one of his songs.
Oh, okay. That was a reggae number. Who knew? The Max Rebo Band. Was doing there. They were doing the backup vocals.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit about Jabba as a marketable character.
Mm.
You know, Jabba has had a lot of merchandising based on him from going way back to the first Kenner. It's the Jabba the Hutt playset.
Why? With moving tail.
That's right. Swish, swish, Jabba. Dance, dance, dance. But
run, runner.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, I actually stumbled on a picture where somebody was showing the sort of evolution of Jabba the Hutt action figures. And you have the original Kenner Jabba, which really was one of the best as far as capturing the look of the character.
Mm-hmm.
And in some ways, you know, the simpler approaches they took with the swishing tail mechanism were better. The very first Jabba you got in 1999 after the Star Wars figures were available after 95 was Jabba Glob Jabba.
Oh.
And, or actually, no, I stand corrected. In 1997, there was a in 1997 there was a Jabba the Hutt based on the special edition. So he was oriented more like he's walking along and getting stepped on crudely by Han, rather than, and it was one of the piss poorest ones they ever made. Then in 1999 you had Jabba Glob, which was a hollow Jabba the Hutt body with a removable upper body. That was rubbery plastic that you could kind of squeeze his. Literally, you could squeeze his head. I was going to say you could squeeze his cheeks, but it's just. This show has digressed too much already. But you could squeeze his head and make it look like, you know, his mouth was moving. Uh-huh. And it came with a can of slime renamed as Jabba Glob.
Yeah.
And a bunch of little plastic froggies that you could apparently have him, like, cough up violently during a fit of the dry heaves.
That's the Jabba that I have on my action figure shelf. Is that the Jabba Glob?
Jabba Glob. And then in 1999, there was the most awkward Jabba the Hutt. I think I have a picture of it, if I can find one. It was the what they were calling beast packs back in the day. And that's where they had released, like, the Ronto and the a very crude special edition version of the Dewback, and later Han and Luke and Tauntaun. So for episode one, they actually did a beast pack with the characters that would become known as Fode and Beed, which was the two-headed announcer from episode one. Because for some reason they decided they needed to have a Jabba the Hutt for episode one that spit the head that he'd bitten off.
What?
At a gun. The mechanism of this thing, you know, you had the one hand holding the giant frog body, and the other hand was the trigger for a spring mechanism built inside Jabba's head.
Yeah.
So his mouth was depicted with these pursed lips and this big gaping hole there where there was a little cross, kind of cross-shaped hole for him to accommodate the peg on the back of the head of this thing.
Oh.
The head could be slotted down into the body, or it could be shoved in Jabba's mouth. The peg would be shoved in his mouth, and then if you pulled his right arm down, it would fire the missile, this little frog head, at the gong.
Oh, my gosh.
You could put the frog head in the body, but it was very awkward because if you see pictures of this toy without the head in its mouth, it becomes party doll Jabba.
Gross.
So apparently no longer content to have sex with himself. Okay, that's enough of that.
Oh, my gosh. But see, that was an era. That was the Episode 1 merchandise extravaganza era, where they were coming out with anything and everything because they just knew people were going to not only buy but just accept everything that said Star Wars Episode 1. So it's no surprise that – I mean, this is the era that gave us the Jar Jar Binks lollipop, suck on my tongue, because the tongue is the...
Oh, that's right, the soul-kissed Jar Jar.
Yes, where his tongue was the...
Yeah, the last thing in the world, you know, Jar Jar, I went in ready to hate the character. Mm-hmm. It kind of grew on me during the course of the thing. I've got kind of a love-hate thing going on with the character.
Yeah.
I was willing to accept Jar Jar up to the point where somebody wants me to pull tongue with Jar Jar Binks. Okay, that's where I draw the line.
We're not kidding, PJ. If you can't get a chance, look up the Jar Jar lollipop.
Yeah, it was like a tongue shape. He has a Gungan tongue shaped sucker.
His mouth
was housed inside inside a plastic Jar Jar head. It was oriented facing upward, and it had a mechanism where you sort of push the little button forward, and the mouth opens up like a snake's mouth. It kind of unhinges its jaw, and you've got this big, meaty, strawberry-flavored tongue waiting for you inside.
So imagine kids sucking away on his...
Yeah, and I just... How that got past licensing, I'll never know. By 2004, Hasbro came out with a thing where they recycled the Jabba Glob body.
Uh-huh.
And put a more solid top on it. It was a deluxe figure of Jabba the Hutt. None of these up to this point had, after the one in 83, had a throne.
Uh-huh.
Hmm.
Okay. In 2009, there was a Clone Wars version of Jabba was released.
Yeah.
Which looks like something, you know, from some kid's paper mache in their art class.
Yeah, he's making a weird... If I remember, he's making, like, a really weird face. Like, he's too happy.
Yeah.
He's, like,
happy. He's trying to be, like, the Joker.
Yes, that's what
he's imitating Jack Nicholson in Batman.
Or he's imitating Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face, trying to channel Jack Nicholson as the Joker.
And then finally in 2010, Hasbro got it right as near as they were ever going to get it by releasing a Jabba the Hutt deluxe playset, which had the most accurate throne they've ever done. It had little pillows and the skins hanging off the sides and the hookah pipe and the whole nine yards. And it, of course, has little wheels on the bottom so you can roll it forward over to check out the Rancor pit. And it's got Wi-Fi so you can check out the Rancor pit as well.
Nice plug
on
your own show.
Playing the show on the show. That's how desperate we've been.
And see, that's what's so funny about that is the first people missed an opportunity here. See, they got the toys people, they got it. You know, Hasbro, Mako, all of those guys, they were smart. But the furniture people, why they didn't create a Jabba sectional, you know, I understand, you know, because he had people messing up on him. Slave Leia was leaning up against him and stuff. They missed out. Can you imagine
that? It's actually rather comfy. You know, what? You go to the furniture store, like Rooms to Go.
Mm-hmm. Can you imagine that? I mean, he comes in all natural colors. It would go with anything in your room. I mean,
you could get, like, you know, if purple's your thing, you could get Zero the Hutt.
Zero.
Or if you have, like, big family, Mama the Hutt.
That's right. And the kids' room, get Rada for the kids'
room. Yeah, the kids have, like, a little Rada, like a Rada chair.
A little Rada beanbag or something.
Yeah,
that's right.
No, you're talking about a really horrible Jabba merchandising. The one thing I remember from not too long back, do y'all remember the Tactics game where you had the figures?
Yeah.
They had like the exaggerated, they would have like exaggerated features like big feet or big arms or something. And they would, I think when they like launched things or something.
Oh yeah. Most of them, they either launched or they did like a bitch slap.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. With Kung Fu Grip. So I remember the Jabba piece was really awkward because it was like just a more stylized little stubby version of Jabba. And on one side you had Salacious Crumb sitting up on this little thing, which I guess was the little...
Oh, lever. Good and, Lord, I found a picture of this.
Yeah, and what's so weird about it is his mouth is... He's giving the O face, basically. He's doing the O face, and you load him up with blue balls. Yes, I said blue
yes,
balls.
Indeed.
And you
truly
fire
they are.
Balls. Jabba fires his blue balls at an opponent.
Yeah, it's like some sort of really hideous Tijuana stage show or something.
It's like the Stanley Kubrick Jabba the Hutt or something.
Oh,
but
it is a frightful piece of work.
It is. It is the
opening. Yeah, just like hawking loogies at people. It's
yeah. What better way to take out your opponent than to chuck your blue balls at them?
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, how do you go? Let's see here. The Jedi's, they have lightsabers. We need to get Jabba something. You know what? Blue balls. He can
blue balls. That's right.
Yeah. You see the marketing meeting right now. Yeah, we can do that. Let's do it because he's gangster enough to do something like that. Yeah.
There you go again. He's gangster.
He's gangster. but, you know, a lot of Jabba the Hutt's been portrayed. He's been a Lego.
Uh-huh.
I'm
sure there's a plushie. There's got to be a plushie.
Oh, yeah. There was a Jabba the Hutt in the Bunnies line from Hasbro.
Okay.
Which we showed on one of the recent Rancor pits. There was a statue.
Uh-huh.
That is this gigantic statue. Who was it? Sideshow Collectibles did an enormous Jabba the Hutt for their line. There's even been a pop vinyl bobblehead of Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. A very cherubic, glassy-eyed Jabba the Hutt was part of the Galactic Heroes line. There have been a couple of different plushies, I'm fairly certain. The Jabba the Hutt beanbag chair would have been a good choice, though.
Yes.
The really cool statue was the Slave Leia choking Jabba the Hutt statue. I thought that was a clever
one. Yeah, that
one.
Is an elaborate piece of work there, but it's very impressive. And it was a couple of several years ago that was like doing life-size maquettes of old, like Boba Fett and Admiral Ackbar and stuff, and they did a great big-ass Jabba the Hutt that was actually made of foam rubber. The exterior had a proper skin where it looked like Jabba the Hutt, but like if it ever came off its base or as foam rubber is wont to do, just sort of deteriorated on you.
Yeah.
Then it turned out that it was pretty nasty stuff.
Well, they had that one you're talking about. There was actually a deluxe version of it where it actually came with, you purchased the deluxe, it came with three puppeteers that lived inside of it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. two normal sized people and a midget.
Oh, I don't think they like the term midget anymore. I think we need to look that up and see.
I think it's the term normal sized person.
Normal.
I'm really honestly ashamed that you used the term normal sized person. I really wish you hadn't done that. We'll cut that out in post production. And also the new Star Wars Black Series, there's a Jabba the Hutt coming out for that as well. I think it was a San Diego Comic Con thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wasn't Jabba mentioned on an episode of Family Guy as well? Didn't I think even one of I guess Peter, he has a husky somebody, a relative, I think he calls him Jabba the something.
Oh, but, really?
Yeah, I think Family Guy mentioned once, and they made this whole thing about he's too sexy for his pants, not pants, but he's too sexy for his fat or something like that.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, on Family Guy. I think I remember there's an episode like that. I'm going to have to Google it now. But.
Oh, wow.
He's popular. He's actually been in Forbes. Did you know that Jabba that's actually been in Forbes?
No.
Yeah, he was, they did and this is true too, they did this back a while back, maybe I think in 2008, where they did the Forbes of their top 15 fictional wealthiest.
Nice.
Yeah, and he was ranked number 4. I remember that, because he was in the top 5. I was like, Jabba made it to top 5? Cool.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, they just say Jabba the Hutt has been one of the more amazingly popular characters, one of the most unique characters of the Star Wars universe, to be sure. Has infiltrated pop culture, has forced several normal-sized people and one little person to live inside him to make him work. Because it actually took a total of six people to operate Jabba the Hutt.
Mm.
Mm.
Apparently one guy with a fishing pole running his back of his head or something.
Mm.
And of course, one of my favorite things to quote is Mike Edmonds, who also played Logray the Ewok, who was the little person in Jabba's tail.
My apologies.
Who was talking, there was a scene in the making of Real Reese talking about how he runs this mechanism to cause the different reactions in Jabba's tail. But he was also charged with being the person who had a cigar going to blow smoke up through a tube at the way other end of Jabba the Hutt to have, smoke coming out of his mouth while he's there puffing away on his pipe.
Mm.
And Edmonds is saying something like, a glass of port, this would be the perfect job. I'm thinking, yeah, glass of port would be the perfect job if it wasn't inside a giant rubber sock.
That was flammable.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Yes. With three other people crawling around.
Exactly.
It's like human centipede before there was a human
centipede. Wow, it's a Hutt centipede.
Well, we needed Jabba the Hutt, though. Because before he came out, if you wanted to talk about somebody who was maybe large and in charge, you had to talk about Nell Carter or something. But
wow, good night. That totally eclipsed my little people comment.
Yes, indeed.
I feel better now.
What is Hutties for Give Me a Break?
That's right, you know.
Poor Nell Carter. She's one of our our listeners, too. She's going to hear that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll switch it then. We'll say, Fat Albert, before Jabba came along, you just, you know, and punch somebody, you would just say,
actually, the original, when Luke first arrives in Jabba's palace, the original line was, hey, hey, hey.
Oh my gosh, somebody should take that clip from the movie and voice that over.
That would be great. Yes, that's a challenge. Roy, if you're listening, could you do that?
Hey, hey, oh my gosh.
Jabba the Hutt. Now I'm going to sing a song for you.
Think about all the bounty hunters and Salacious Crumb and Bib Fortuna being like the junkyard gang, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay, yeah, now that's a good one. We're going to have to do a challenge here where we're going to recast.
I'm going to have to draw that.
Yeah, so we need to recast the entire Jabba's Palace as the Junkyard Gang. Wow.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, you know, Squidhead could be that guy that had the cap over his face all the time.
Yeah, Rudy.
Yeah, Rudy.
Rudy, yeah. And just for fun, I'll throw in Nell Carter somewhere in the background.
That one, naturally.
There you go.
I'll make Nell Carter the dancer, the Jabba dancer, not Ula, the other one.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we just need Bill Cosby to do the voice.
Yeah, that would be perfect, though. You know, because you have Jabba being like, hey, Bib Fortuna, you like school in summer. I might like school in summer. No class.
Oh, wow.
And oddly enough, I recently saw Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. That was the actual pacing. I was amazed. I'd forgotten how slow pace all the dialogue. Before we digress further into pop culture, let's say farewell to Tatooine and let's have a moment of silence for Jabba the Jurig, Jabba the Hutt,
and Pizza the Hutt,
and Pizza the Hutt, who both died tragic deaths of their own making. You're the two worst people at having moments of silence.
I can't help it. I was trying so hard. I was trying so hard not to laugh.
Kind of nice.
I mean, the images of Neil Carter now.
Neil Carter dancing for Jabba.
Dancing for Jabba.
Give me a break. Okay. This has been another fine edition of the Rantcore Pit. Thank you very much to our special guest, Vega Bomber, for coming over from next door over at Studio 3 from do-it-yourself.
That's right. It's a short walk. Anytime.
We appreciate that. You know, it's a short walk, but it's rife with traps and booby traps. And we let Eddie design it, and he got all Indiana Jones on us. And so
that's right.
Just remember, a penitent man bows to the Lord. You'll be safe.
Watch out for the boulder.
That's right. And as always, Eddie, I can't stop.
The boulder actually has a striking resemblance to Nell Carter. What?
Oh. Wow.
And of course, Eddie Medina, as always, we will see you next week at the Rancor Pit Live, coming to you from Deep Ellum on air. Be sure and check us out. You can check out the episode from 2 weeks ago where Eddie invited absolutely everyone he knew to fill in the studio in my absence. You can, and then of course, two weeks from today, we'll have yet another episode of the Rancor Pit. I do want to point out one of my final note here, one of my absolute favorite Jabba the Hutt things ever, and I'm hoping I can find one at a price I'm willing to pay, was the Celebration 5, Star Wars Celebration 5, the collector's panels had the breakfast cereal giveaways and the Grape Hutts. I so desperately want a box of a Grape Hutts box because I thought that was just absolutely brilliant. I do have a Raisin Han box, thanks to some friends of mine, but I'm still desperately seeking a Grape Hutts. And with that, we will see everyone back here in 2 weeks with more Simple Tricks and Nonsense.